Hello, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Tech Exec Podcast, where we create world-class engineering teams. I'm your host, Aviv Ben Yosef, Tech Exec Advisor and Coach, and author of the Tech Executive Operating System. And today, we'll be talking about time, specifically due time. The other day was my birthday. Thank you for the well wishes, by the way. And my wife surprised me with a trip to one of the many, many fine wineries here in Israel. And we got there, and that was a very special winery because it was one that specializes in creating wines that are intended to be aged quite a lot, and that also specializes in aging wines in oak barrels for a lot. And when I'm saying a lot, I'm meaning that one of the bottles I came back home with is a bottle that has spent 9 years in oak before being bottled. And if you're unfamiliar with what's the standard, I can tell you that that's a lot. After the splendid wine tasting, we chatted a bit with one of the owners. And as I was talking to him about what makes him special and the market is in and what changes he's seeing, you know, with COVID and everything, I asked him, so one of your products, essentially, or a key aspect of your product is time. And that is because I don't know how things are like in other countries, but here in Israel, because it's so warm, you can't really have wine in your kitchen cabinet or on walls and stuff like that for too long because it's going to spoil. It's just too hot. As opposed to, for example, in Europe, where you can usually have it in a cabinet for years or under your bed and it's going to be fine because the temperature is generally good enough. And so here in Israel, at least, people are not likely to buy a bottle of wine that is meant to be opened in like 10 years and actually have a place to save it. There are those few who actually have wine fridges or cellars, etc. But that's not the common case at all. And he realized that if his passion is to create these kinds of wines that require time to be consumed, then he also has to provide that for his clients, for his customers. He has to save wine a lot before selling it, or people would buy that wine and open it prematurely because they're not going to save it. So he actually now is spending effort into saving up all of these wines and storing them so he can sell them to people closer to the point of consuming if they want to. And all this goes to connect you with understanding that time is a key ingredient also in leading organizations, and not just tech organizations, but we're techies, so let's talk about how it looks like in tech organizations. What I'm talking about is the fact that let's consider what you do as an executive. Mainly, and I think I talked about that either in my previous podcast or in my previous video, and if you're not getting the Friday upgrade videos, check out the link to my website below, and from there you can get to my YouTube channel. Essentially, managing an organization means that you have the day-to-day, you have the roadmap delivery, you have the tasks, the sprints, whatever, but your work, the leadership work, is at the meta level, right? You are working on the organization, not in it, not in the road delivery, but the actual impact you have, the leverage you have, is in making that organization itself better. And how do you do that? Often by triggering change initiatives. And change initiatives are a big topic all by itself. I spent a whole chapter covering it in the Tech Executive Operating System. But one key aspect to successful change initiatives is understanding that sometimes things require time. You cannot accelerate things too much. I talk all the time about speed of change. How fast, how rapidly do you iterate? Do you change things and do you learn? You shouldn't allow for a month to perform something that's trivial, to change how you're managing your sprints, if you can do it in a coherent way in a week. But nevertheless, you should never push things to be too fast, because people require the time to comprehend things, to let things sink. And my example that I always use is, you come up with a reorg. You have spent months thinking about it. You've talked to it with your advisor, like I usually do with my clients. You've talked to the CEO. You've talked to your peers in product, in marketing, in sales. You've talked to your direct reports, your directors, to see what they think. And after all of that thinking, after months of thinking, you think that you have the right way forward. You think that you have a solution, an improvement that is worth actually acting on. And then you introduce that to your team. Now, in the book, I cover the change algorithm. How do you go through such a change initiative in a way that is more likely to succeed? And I say that when you introduce the change properly, you should also always keep in mind the fact that your people are only now starting to comprehend the change itself. Just because you've talked about it and said a few words doesn't mean that they have internalized exactly what you're talking about by now. And that is because they are only now learning about it. They're only now starting to comprehend it, to think about it, and about the different implications that it's going to have on them. You, on the other hand, have given it so much thought till now that you've become accustomed to it. It doesn't surprise you. You've considered it from tons of different angles. You've mulled over every aspect. You're certain you're doing the right thing, but they do not possess the same knowledge and the same experience of considering this. And therefore, you have to provide them with time. When you're providing someone with feedback, you should always think about the time frame from merely providing that feedback to starting to witness an improvement starting, because everyone needs some time to think things through. When I do role plays with clients and we're talking about sensitive issues like providing very harsh feedback, telling someone that you are not pleased with their performance, talking about asking someone to redo a big plan they have, something like that. Something that's likely to trigger a lot of thinking and that's very sensitive. I always say that you should be prepared as you provide them with the feedback. Say, I know that this is a lot. Would you like to think about this? And we can talk again, I don't know, later today, tomorrow, so that people can think things through. Without doing that, you might be pushing people forward to say things, to commit to things, without them really internalizing what you're talking about. And so always keep in mind that we are not machines. And even though I call the change algorithm a change algorithm, you cannot expect to execute on it as a computer would. We have to have time as humans to process and to really understand what we're doing. And so if this were to be implemented in code, I would add a bunch of calls to sleep so that we, as humans with weird hardware, I've heard it referred to as wetware. When we take our brains, we can give them the time to think, mull things over, and only then ask people to move on. Without that, you might be missing a crucial step to reach success. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining me. If you haven't yet, subscribe to the best newsletter for tech executives. The link is in the show notes. And also, grab your copy of Tech Executive Operating System while the early bird period continues. You only have about 4 weeks left. And after that, you won't be able to get the benefits if you purchase multiple copies. So check the link in the show notes as well. Thank you, and talk to you next week.